In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. He needs a name. This man born blind, he needs a name. There are plenty of people in the Gospels with no name. Plenty of women with the same name. Given the commonness of the name Jesus in that era, rather like the commonness of names like Jim or Cheryl or Andrew in this congregation, given the commonness of the name Jesus in that era, we should give thanks that the text isn't full of Jesuses. So many of the recipients of wonders, those things we call miracles usually, so many of the recipients are named by their imperfections, the paralytic man, the hemorrhaging woman. Their namelessness makes them more universal, but it also makes them less three-dimensional. Our man born blind, I want to give him a name. I want to give him a B name, because his name as we know it is the man born blind. Maybe Bennett, which means blessed, or Bodhi, which means awakened. Berenger means brave as a bear, and that certainly suits him. Birdie is one of the names of one of my favorite fictional characters, and Birdie means wise and graceful. Birdie Berenger, wise, graceful, and brave like a bear, our man born blind. Birdie is said to be a man in the text, so by cultural standards of that age, he would have to be at least 13 years old. It's hard for me to imagine, hard for me, raised in the circumstances and culture and setting that I was, to imagine a person born blind who had not been educated and accommodated and brought into meaningful role in society. Imagine all the people you know with all their inborn imperfections. Imagine their gifts tossed aside. In some ancient and modern cultures, illness is a mark of sinfulness, a system where shame is used to control who has power and who does not. Birdie would have been automatically unclean from birth, never formally taught, never welcome in the synagogue or the temple. Now, he's clearly smart, because while he may not have sight, he has big ears to hear. On the outskirts, all of his life, he has learned enough that when challenged, he is able to rebut the authorities after his awakening. It is amazing what the people we never notice know about us. Maybe he had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, the wonders he had done and the welcome that he taught and he practiced. This Jesus who every time he shows up at the temple, there is some type of hubbub. We don't know why Birdie begs outside the temple. Maybe he was hopeful. Maybe he was curious. Maybe that was the spot where the charity was better. Even with the shaming his birth creates, Birdie Berenger's family is still in the picture. There they are, his parents, passing the buck, willing to be silenced, saying, "We don't know, go ask him." Birdie was known to be theirs, and I imagine that he still lives with them. One of the characteristics of ancient Judaism that stands out from the simmering cultural soup of the Roman Empire was its celebration of life. We tell of our origins with the Lord chanting, "It is good, it is good." God breathing spirit into dark earth and bringing life to life. We hear of how we are to be fruitful and how our top priority is to care for the least. Most other realms of the empire had a different take. Family was a burden. Children were necessary, but considered to be germ-ridden vermin. An imperfect child, any disability, such as being born blind, was a waste of time and effort. Bertie, grown and blind and still with his family, would have been radically unusual in the rest of the Hellenistic world. It is the Sabbath day when we meet Jesus today. He had just left the temple under threats of violence. And I wonder, did he see Bertie? Did he walk up to him? Did he whisper, "Hello, my name is Jesus. I've come to set God's people free. May I help you see?" He does this directly in front of the temple with the authorities and the Pharisees right there. It's sort of like stealing a cookie in front of your parents. Not only does Jesus work a wonder, he also makes clay. Clay that recalls the primordial making of God. Clay that fractures boundaries, because making is one of the categories of things that is not done on the Sabbath. Jesus makes a bold challenge to the authorities, which is unmistakable. Two flimsy walls of laws broken and a man is healed. And it's like nothing anyone has ever seen. And the powers that be are fraught. Bertie's witness progresses steadily through the story, a living metaphor where enlightenment is about more than what is seen or unseen. It is going from the burdens of darkness to recognizing and praising and joining the saving works of God in Jesus. This highlights a very different understanding of how Jesus saves than what we sometimes see. In John's gospel, rescue from sin and brokenness is the fact of Jesus' life, and it is even more so in his life than in his tragic death. God's light and word were born in the human life of Jesus. God's presence was full of grace and truth in him. And when we let our life be defined by this light, we are brought out of the dark and out of the chaos. Bertie's words clearly outlined to his interrogators just this idea. He outlines it when he says, "From the beginning of time, there's never been anything like this. This is it. Jesus is a creation restart. When we are oriented to the sun, we see. When we turn toward any other vision of reality, we are in the dark." We must be careful with passages like our gospel lesson today, where the Pharisees can be seen as paper bag villains and the Jewish authorities defined by their tradition more than their role. By the time the author of John is writing, there is a charged and fraught atmosphere amongst family and friends who were all Jewish. After the temple was destroyed in 70, there was a drastic reshuffling that after a few hundred years, defines the Judaisms that we know today. And at that time, the time of the writing, the time around Jesus' birth, there were multiple sects and streams and groups. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, that included this group of Nazarenes, these Christ followers. The differences amongst that community were not unlike the struggles amongst we who share the name Christian right now. Important and consequential disagreements about who we are to be and how we are saved. It's true with our Anglican siblings. It's true with our ecumenical friends. And it's obviously true with some of our fundamentalist cousins. You may be familiar with authors like Rachel Held Evans and Brian McLaren. They were both raised in more evangelical and fundamentalist traditions. And they were both people who, over time, became more progressive Christians. They're two people who have strong voices of light and life and love and compassionate faith in Jesus that so many people are so desperate to hear. But they are also two people who are responded to with volumes of hateful vitriol from folks from the root communities from which they emerged, folks who are challenged by their testimony. You don't have to know those authors to know of an example. There are plenty of them to go around, where folks who are supposed to play on the same team are not getting along. However, the plain text reading of passages such as our lesson today, where the Jews are the terrible other, have caused millennia of sin and massacre. And in the name of Jesus, we cannot fall victim to it again. This Anglican and Episcopal tradition rarely makes straightforward directives, but here we do. In our interfaith relationships, especially with those who we call people of the book, Jews and Muslims, any form of anti-Semitism and anti-Islamicism is turning away from the triune God and embracing the darkness. In the Gospel of John, sin isn't so much about things done and left undone, but about something broader and more relational. Here, sin is the unresponse to Jesus. It is the turning away, the refusal to hear, the blindness of not trusting the endlessness of the peaceful welcome of our Holy Lord, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bertie Berenger, the man born blind, is one of my absolute favorite people of the New Testament, besides Jesus. It really goes back to two lines we heard today, those brave and wise and somewhat smart alecky lines. That might give you a clue as to why I really like him. You keep asking questions. Do you want to be his disciples? And earlier, never from the beginning has there been anything like this, and you don't know who he is? Are you kidding? I really like Bertie. I identify with him when he says these things. However, I also connect with more of his story. I was raised in the church, in the Episcopal Church. I was required to go every Sunday unless I was ill. But I was blind to it. I liked the punch and the cookies. I didn't dislike it, but I just didn't connect. This episode of The Man Born Blind is a story of conversion, and it has all the parts of mine. Acknowledging a moment of grace, asking questions to find out more, going from saying, I don't know who Jesus is, but I'm drawn to him, to proclaiming he is our friend and our shepherd and our savior. I have been every character in this gospel today. The religious authority deciding what is in and what is out. The caregiver replying to a difficult moment with, I don't know, when I did. the disciples asking provocative questions, and perhaps at my best moments, the healing light of Christ. Which characters have you been? I've been all of them over and over again, twisting into the dark and being loved back into the light of Christ, turning and turning until we come round right. Bertie Berenger, the man born blind. Where he is, we are to be also. We are to be with him in his trust, in his response of commitment to the way of Christ. We are to be with him in his response to the forces of darkness and silencing. The man born blind, who for today I have named Bertie Berenger, wise and graceful, brave as a bear. His smart response sees us clearly. Do you want to become Jesus's disciples too? Will you pray with me, repeating after me? You are the God who unleashes well-being. You are the God who unleashes well-being. You are the Savior who lights the way. May we see.
May we
love.
May we
follow.
Amen.